The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Tuesday, June 11th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. We've got a lot to unravel tonight and inform you of and get you up to par with. Before we get started, I'd love for you to hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification, hit that share button, help us push this out and get our material out there on these platforms so other individuals can also be informed of our broadcast. Guys, I want to talk about it. It looks and appears like the empire of America, just like any empire in history, has a shelf life. In fact, the average cessation of empires is around 200 to 300 years. We have surpassed that. We've overrun the runway as it is. We are on our last leg, and I believe that time is running out for the nation of America. I know we're coming out of the gate strong with some very strong statements, but I need you to hang around for a few minutes because we got a lot to cover tonight. Now I'm going to give you, we always want to give you some scriptures because we're trying to give you, these news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm not going to pull this up because it would take too much time and I would not get through this whole podcast. So if you want a reference to what I'm going to be discussing as far as the foundation goes, Leviticus chapter 26, Deuteronomy 28, you've heard me reiterate over and over again that any nation that begins to defy the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they turn from the true and living God, they turn to idols, turn to idolatry, turn to abominations, they begin to completely shun all the commandments, statutes, the word of God, and so on and so forth. That nation, whether it be Israel, whether it be America, it doesn't matter. That nation who does that will perish. And if you go to Deuteronomy 28, again, go do this in your own spare time. I challenge you to read the entire chapter of Leviticus 26, the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 28. There is what's called the blessings of God and the curses of God. The blessings of God are given to those nations who obey the word of God, obey the statutes, heed the commandments of God, and seek him. And then it says all these blessings will come upon them. And it talks about blessing them. They will be blessed financially. They'll prosper as a nation. They'll be fruitful. They'll multiply. They'll exceed. They'll have strength. They'll have power. They'll have might. They'll have prestige. They'll have respect from other nations. But on the other hand, those nations that completely turn from God, your Bible says they'll be cursed financially. They'll be cursed economically speaking. They'll be cursed. They will not be able to be fruitful and multiply. They'll decline in number. They'll reduce in number. They'll be inundated with plagues and famines and pestilences and droughts and disasters. And they will be the tail and not the head, and below and not beneath and not above. They will cease to be a nation. And I believe America has been under judgment. It's not a lot of people getting on here and saying America is about to go into judgment or about to see judgment come to America. No, friend, judgment is happening in America. And the only reason that America is still afloat, per se, is because of the remnant that is still crying out, still interceding, still praying, and still standing in the gap and making up the hedge. If the remnant was not here, if there had not been a remnant still in America, I 100% fully believe that we would have been gone as a nation completely by now already. And again, this can apply to your nation too, wherever you're at. Just because you don't live in America doesn't mean this is not applicable to you. And I'm sure if you live in places like Australia and Europe and different places, you recognize what we're talking about. You're seeing it in your own nation and your own leadership and what's going on in your culture of your nation. And you can recognize whether the hand of God's favor is upon you or it's being lifted slowly. Okay? So I want to talk tonight about how there is multiple reports that it looks like the entire system of America is collapsing before our eyes. In fact, here is an actual article from Michael Snyder. And here's what it says. The entire system is crumbling. Major red flags are popping up for banks, small businesses, and retailers. Despite this current administration and Bernie from the Weekend at Bernie's that's being propped up in the White House, who trying to portray everything is fine, everything is dandy, the economy's great, we're flourishing, we're prospering. There are, for anyone who has a brain, can see all the trouble erupting all around us. All the these red flags are completely being ignored. They're being distorted. They're being manipulated. And there's so much fabrications going on in the markets and all the reports and everything else that's going on. But when an individual gets down to it and they take a look at the cold, hard numbers that the economy continues producing, there is only one logical conclusion. And that is that the entire system, the house of cards, is crumbling, it's collapsing, and it's only going to get worse. For example, the FDIC's most recent report tells us that there are 63 problem banks in the United States. 63 problematic banks in the United States, and collectively our banks now have $517 billion in unrealized losses. Now, this is stacked on top of the trillions of dollars that our nation is already in debt to. According to the FDIC's first quarter report, the U.S. banking system is sitting on a collective $517 billion, with a B, in unrealized losses and has 63 problem banks. Those losses have been sparked primarily by a surge in interest rates over the past 2 years, which have driven down the price of fixed income securities held by banks. Unrealized losses held by banks increased by $39 billion in the first quarter relative to the fourth quarter of 2023. Higher unrealized losses on residential mortgage-backed securities resulting from higher mortgage rates in the first quarter drove the overall increase. Now, as far as having a list of what banks are on this problem list, the FDIC will not make this public. Why is that? Because, listen, the reason why is because if the FDIC ever released that to the public, there it would absolutely cause bank runs. It would cause chaos and pandemonium, and it would collapse the whole system. Let me read this quote. We don't get to know which banks are in trouble. It could be my bank, it could be your bank, or maybe it's not. Are they big banks? Are they small ones? The list is confidential to inhibit the likelihood of bank runs finishing off these institutions. One of the causes of these banks continuing to deteriorate, and I would even say that it's probably one of the main causes, is that because there is tons of commercial real estate loans that are going sour. Let me say that again. There's a huge number of real estate commercial loans that are going south. They're going bad. At this point, it has become clear that we have never faced a commercial real estate crisis of this magnitude in our entire history. The collapse of the commercial real estate market could easily spill over into the financial sector. That's because a lot of loans are coming due. According to a report from Mortgage Bankers Association, around $1.2 trillion of commercial real estate debt in the U.S. will mature over the next 2 years. Now, you couple this with a recent survey that discovered that approximately two-thirds of all small businesses in the U.S. are teetering on the brink of complete disaster. Quote, a new survey reveals that over two-thirds of small business owners are terrified of the state of the economy under Joe Biden's watch, fearing that current conditions and ongoing downward trends will lead to them having to close their businesses completely. Now, why is that important? Here's why, in case you didn't know this, close to half of all the workers in the U.S. are employed by small businesses. So if that collapsed, friends, we're in huge trouble. I mean, we're already in huge trouble, but I'm trying to give you a better understanding of this. Forbes estimates that at least 46% of all employees in the United States, and this is 61.6 million people in total, are employed by small businesses. And the U.S. economy last month, in the month of May, lost a whopping 408,000 jobs. People are losing jobs by the droves, and it's coming from AI, it's coming from robots, it's coming from, and we're going to talk a little more about this in a minute, it's coming from businesses that are shutting down, restaurants, retail, all this. They call this the retail apocalypse. This is happening. Mark B. Spiegel recently discussed major retailer after major retailer has been reporting disappointing sales numbers. Let me give you this quote. The U.S. economy seems to finally be cracking. This month, a slew of retailers, and we're talking about the top dogs here, Target, Lowe's, Macy's, Kohl's, Best Buy, and Foot Locker, all reported negative year-over-year sales comps, and that's before adjusting for the inflation that makes them 3 to 4% more negative in real terms. Others, Dollar General, Burlington, all reported same-store sales comps in the plus 2% range, but that too was negative when adjusted for inflation. Meanwhile, Walmart and Nordstrom comps managed to roughly keep pace with inflation, but were unable to exceed it. Now, remember, Walmart at one time was the unstoppable retail giant. We used to joke about this, and we used to say that you truly know that you're in the apocalypse when you see Walmart and Waffle House shutting down. You know, how many's ever heard that joke? That's a joke we have in the South. We could throw Dollar General in there too. That's another joke. If you see them three shutting down, friends, you know that we're heading into uncharted territory. But that's what's happening. A report indicates that even Walmart is now closing stores. Quote, Walmart's are closing across the country, and retail experts say the cuts are signals of a bleak future for shoppers. The multi-million dollar corporation has closed 9 stores so far this year, which could be a warning sign for other retail giants. Let me interpret that for you. If Walmart, who has been known as the retail kingpin at the top, if they're shutting stores down, what's that going to say? What's that mean for your Targets and your Lowe's and your Macy's and your Kohl's and your Best Buy's and your Foot Locker's? It means they are inevitably going to be on the chopping block. In fact, new reports indicate that we're on pace to lose, listen to this number, 7,800 stores in this year. 7,800 stores will be shutting their doors in by the end of 2020. We, guys, listen to me. We are in the stages of a historic meltdown. In fact, one economist, Harry Dent, made a bold prediction recently and said that he predicted that the stock market crash worse than 2008 is coming and inevitable, and he called it the bubble of all bubbles. Speaking in an updated interview with Fox News, Dent cautioned that the everything bubble has still yet to burst, and it may be a bigger crash than the Great Recession. Quote, in 1925 to 1929, it was a natural bubble. There was no stimulus behind that, artificial stimulus per se. So this is new. This has never happened, according to Dent. He went on to say that, what do you do if you want to cure a hangover? You drink more. And that's what they have been doing. They have been flooding the economy with extra money forever. Might actually enhance the overall economy long term, but we'll only see when we see this bubble burst. And again, this bubble has been going for 14 years instead of most bubbles going 5 to 6. It's been stretched higher and longer, so you'd have to expect a bigger crash than what we experienced in 2008 and 2009.
You know, I was watching another document. This will surprise some. I was watching a documentary over the weekend.
Where are you now?
I was. It's called Hitler and the Nazis. Seen that? Really excellent documentary. It's got all kinds of actual footage.
Oh, is that the one that keeps popping up on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it popped up so many times, I'm like, okay.
All right, I'll click on the mustache,
you got me. You got me. Okay. I'm going to do it. So it's actual footage mixed in there with some recreations, and they spend some time talking about the Nuremberg trials. But what it shows you is how everything began in Germany. The rise of Hitler, how he came to power, and the fact that, you know, people were not where they eventually wound up on Jews. I mean, it took some time, mm-hmm. and it took some propaganda, but it shows the path that, frankly, we're on right now. Mm. And it's chilling to me. How can we be so short-sighted as to follow that path again? To see all of the warning signs that were going on in Germany in the 20s and 30s happening here and completely ignore them. Oh, yeah, okay, we got anti-Semitism on college campuses and in our streets. And, sure, they're calling for the extermination of Jews, but, that's just a few people. This is how it starts. Mm-hmm. This is how it spreads.
Yeah, I mean, and aside from that very important factor of the rise of Hitler and Nazis, you didn't even mention our economies. And hyperinflation right around
exactly.
the corner, because
right.
we are
right.
It's
and we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. but in the Weimar Republic, in I think it was 1923, things were so bad that by the time people started getting their paycheck every day, because it had to be that way, because by the afternoon, prices had increased so much that their entire paycheck couldn't buy a loaf of bread. So they'd get their check, which would be, you know, $20 trillion, and they'd run out and they'd get a loaf of bread with it in the morning. If they waited till the afternoon, sorry, the loaf of bread is now $40 trillion. You can't afford it. I mean, that's also a trajectory that we're on right now. Congratulations. I mean, that kind of hyperinflation is not immediately going to happen to us, but we're setting all of the precedent for it.
Okay, listen to this nugget from marketplace.org. This is an article. Let's see. This is a couple months back. The average monthly payment on a new mortgage rose 46% in 1 year. From
here?
14, yeah, in the United States of America.
My gosh.
Here we go. Okay.
My gosh.
Okay, so this stat is... So I'm going to tell you what the average mortgage payment was in the United States at the end of 2021,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end of 2022. $1,400 at the end of 2021.
The average mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
At the end of 2022, that was up to $2,045. Almost double.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, well,
in
about
a year?
Let's see, $1,400. Not almost double. Sorry. $1,400 to... 2045. So, I mean, still up.
Okay, still.
Still up quite a bit. 46%.
$600 a month?
46%, as
good
the...
Good gosh.
As the article said, Keith.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's just on the interest rate. That's the ridiculousness of our interest rates right now.
Yeah.
So, I want to see this at the end of 2023. So, if you went from 1400 to 2045 from end of 2021 to 2022, what was it like a year after that? What is it like today? Because they're not going down.
No, Bidenomics is going really, really well. You're doing so much better than you think you are. Well, I don't know why you can't listen to this man. He's trying to tell you that you're doing great.
What was his quote? They've got the money. They're just mad that things are more expensive.
Yeah, you have plenty of money. And that's what they were telling people in the Weimar Republic. Look, you just got a paycheck that is $10 trillion. $4 trillion marks equaled one U.S. dollar. $4 trillion was equal to a dollar. And that's what happens when you just print money. That's what happens when you allow inflation to just spin out of control.
So 2390. So we've gone from 1400
mm-hmm.
monthly payment. This is before property taxes, insurance, stuff like that. So $1,400 a month at the end of 2021. Today it's $2,390.
Oh my gosh.
So you think about that. Everything I just told you, and then you think about the ongoing major cities from coast to coast continually being terrorized by theft, violence, drugs, homelessness, gangs, and complete lawlessness and anarchy. If things are this bad now, we haven't even got to November yet. We haven't got to the elections yet. I'm telling you, friend, we're charting in unprecedented territories. We've crossed that Rubicon, that threshold, and it's going to get rough. I'm telling you, I believe rough waters are ahead. By the way, just in case you thought I was blowing smoke here, let's look at this headline right here. Quote, Walmart, I'm going to read the whole thing, store clouds. Walmart store closures are a warning sign, look at that, of a retail apocalypse, with other chains also facing threat. Walmart, which operates 5,000 stores in the U.S., is also reportedly laying off hundreds of corporate employees as the company urges remote workers to come into work. Retail analyst Neil Saunders told Yahoo that Walmart's closures in 2016, captured by retail photographer Nicholas Eckhart, were the beginning of a pattern and store cuts. So this analyst goes back to 2016, and he's saying that in 2016, this was the beginning of patterns and store cuts. So again, that's almost 10 years ago, and then the pandemic came, and that just put the foot further on the gas, and it accelerated the domino effect. The blunt truth is that while stores remain a vital part of the retail mix, they are not quite as relevant as they used to be. What's he talking about? Walmart's decision is part of a larger shift that will be played out across all parts of the retail sector of the coming year and beyond. Saunders' prediction turned out to be largely true, as 9 Walmarts are closing this year across 4 states. So what he's saying here, guys, is now, of course, they're not saying it's the state of the economy. They're saying it's the cultural shift where we have gone from the brick and mortar stores to online, which I don't disagree at all saying that doesn't have a huge part in it, because it does. I don't like it. I'm not one that, listen, there is a lot of things. Yes, there's a lot of things that you can order online and it's great and it's convenient, but come on, man, there's some things that I don't want to go shopping online for. If I'm going to buy furniture, I want to sit on the couch. I want to sit on that recliner. I want to sit on that sofa to determine if it's comfortable, or if it's going to measure right, or if it's going to fit right, or if it's going to look right, or if the color looks good and with my real eyes versus looking online. If I'm going to, listen to me, if I'm going to buy clothing, I want to see it. I want to try it on. Are you hearing me today? There's some things, friend, that you can't order online. This is ridiculous. But this is what can we do? This is the new normal. And then we have our food and groceries. Look at this headline. More than a quarter of Americans now admit to skipping meals due to skyrocketing grocery costs. 26% of respondents claim they purchased unhealthy food for themselves or their families because of inflation. This report by Fox News says 80% of Americans say they have felt a notable increase in grocery costs in recent years. More than a quarter of respondents said that the increased costs has led them to occasionally skip meals altogether, while about one-third said they spend more than 60% of their monthly income on mandatory expenses such as food, utilities, and rent. Hit me up in the chat, guys. What are you seeing in your area? Because there was a report that came across to us, it was given to us, and we shared this on our Telegram channel, where the cost of beef was absolutely astounding in places up north. And then it actually caused a lot of a debate in the chat up there on our Telegram, because some people wasn't seeing those price hikes where they live, but it was being seen in other places. So some places, I really feel like it's getting the pinch on this, Whereas other places, I'm not saying that they're not impacted at all, but it's not as excessive or as troubling, as extreme as we're seeing in other places. So I'd love to hear from you where you live. What is the price of your meat, your eggs, your milk, the cost of going out to eat, even if it's fast food, whatever the case may be. Food insecurity is a major issue in this country as millions of Americans don't have enough food to eat or don't have access to healthy food. And that's sad. That's truly sad, friends. And this is probably one of the reasons why, and I'm not saying it's the sole reason, but one of the reasons why we're seeing this uptick or this huge increase. It's not an uptick. It's actually a major increase in these mysterious cancers like colorectal cancer, stomach cancers, lung cancers, and all these things that are popping up in young people. Over the past few years, a rising cost for food and household staples have put American households in precarious situations, especially low-earning households who have families to feed. While we're seeing early signs of inflation relief for food, I'm not seeing that. They keep saying this. We're getting relief from inflation and food. Where are we getting relief from? Because I'm not seeing it in the state of Georgia. I went to the state of Virginia. I didn't see it there. I'm just saying, I don't know. Maybe you're seeing it. Let us know in the comments. Americans are still facing rising costs for other necessities such as rent and gasoline, which could be counteracting their journey towards financial stability. Listen to this. Grocery prices have risen 25% since the beginning of the, here it is, pandemic in early 2020. I want to read this. This is from the Liberty Daily. Quote, between rising food prices, drought-driven shortages, increasing demand, and an obsessive effort by governments and globalist entities to eliminate real meat from our diets. And that's not a conspiracy. That's being touted and it's being said. Beef is posed to be extremely valuable in the years and even months to come. A particular value will be shelf-stable beef, whether it's canned, dehydrated, or freeze-dried. Having beef that is still safe and nutritious for years is sparking the interest of people across the country. It isn't just the doomsday preppers who are concerned. The last 3 years have caused tremendous anxiety to be felt by Americans, and for very logical reasons. So let's think about why. Why is this happening? Because there's a push to go meatless. There is the current bird flu virus, which is now crossed over conveniently into the livestock, and it's impacting cattle ranches and ranchers all across the country. So this is why, this is probably one of the main reasons why meat prices are going up and up and up, because it's eventually, they're trying to push you away from meat. They're pushing you away from this. And again, guys, I don't want to go down this whole rabbit trail again of the WEF and the elites that have consistently said that, you know, they've been pushing eating crickets and eating insects and all of these things that, and again, it's not even a conspiracy. It's been touted. It's been said. It's been openly discussed in forums and conferences, and the list goes on. And not to mention that there's this push for artificially manufactured meat, laboratory-created meats and foods that are just, they're not natural in origins. They're being created in laboratories. And this, there's a push for this stuff, guys, and it's getting stronger and stronger. Then, on top of that, think about everything we've talked about. Then on top of that, we've got all these extreme weather disasters. In fact, there was a new article that came out today by CNN. Let me give you this headline. Why this summer's forecast is bad news for the U.S. after an exceptionally disastrous start to the year. What in the world is this about? Let me read this to you. Quote, the United States has been rocked by an extraordinary number of tornadoes and devastating storms this year that have already left a staggering price tag. Again, another blow to the economy, but not just the economy. It is affecting farmers. It's affecting our food because some of these places getting hit by this is where we get our food production. Now, and it sits out, and I just thought of this. I want to throw this out there. What about all of the fires that have mysteriously broken out at poultry farms, dairy farms, a cow farm, whatever the case may be, some type of place where food is manufactured? Has anybody seen all the uptick and increase of these quote unquote disasters and accidents that keep happening? Anyway, now heading into what forecasters say. Now, think about this. Extraordinary number of tornadoes already hit us in the spring. Now we're heading into summer. And forecasters say this will be, and I quote, an extreme summer. From punishing heat waves to severe weather and hurricanes, the nation's disaster relief agency is expected to, quote, run out of money before it's even over. Wow. I'm going to look at this on the screen here. The U.S. has been thrashed with 11 extreme weather disasters with costs exceeding $1 billion so far this year, with a total price tag of $25.1 billion. This is according to an update from the NOAA. It's tied for the second most disasters on record and doesn't even include the extreme weather in the second half of May. So it could actually precede that. It could actually go above that. Quote, that is worrying news for the Federal Emergency Management Agency. That is FEMA, whose major disaster relief fund could slip into the red by the end of this summer. A more than $1.3 billion in shortfall in August. So question, where are we going to get the money? What happens? What happens if all the predictions of the meteorologists and those at the NOAA, what if all those predictions come to fruition? They've been telling us this is going to be horrific for hurricane season. What if we get hit by, let's say, six major Category 4 or 5 hurricanes? Florida, Louisiana, Texas, somewhere in the coast. What if it goes up to the East Coast, East Coast. What if it strikes somewhere in New York and New Jersey? What is that going to look like? Again, this is chilling, guys, to even read this. Without additional funding, FEMA will take steps prior to funding exhaustion to ensure resources are available to support ongoing life-saving and life-sustaining activities. A recent spokesperson said, in the event of a major catastrophe like a hurricane, the agency would have a funding reserve set aside for initial response and recovery operations. So listen, you're going to have to decide now. If you live on the coast, we're getting ready. Again, we're heading into hurricane season, and it doesn't look good. If you live over on the West Coast, you already know what wildfires have looked like over the recent years. You need to be prepared now, and you don't need... I would not be counting on somebody else to come and bail me out. The cavalry may not be coming. The boat coming to pick you up may not be coming. The plane that dropped water on your house and put out the fire may not be coming. FEMA may not be coming. The National Guard may not be coming. So again, there's personal responsibilities here. I'm telling you, we need to prepare now because this is coming down the pipe. Now, while all of this is going on, you've got this situation with Russia that is getting more and more volatile. In fact, there was a report that indicated for the first time in history, Russian propagandists got up on Kremlin television and called America the enemy or unenemy, an enemy of the state. First time in history, America was deemed an enemy of the state, according to Russia. Russia also said that America made a crucial mistake, or they said the West made a crucial mistake because they had their hands right in the middle of supplying NATO with weapons. with aircraft, with weaponry, and the list goes on. And as a result of this, consequently, look at this headline here. I'm going to pull this up. This is going on right now as we speak. Russian ships and a nuclear submarine are passing the Florida coast, and they are headed to Cuba. According to the report, three Russian Navy ships and a nuclear-powered submarine seem to be passing the Florida coast today on June 11th. They're on their way to Cuba for a military exercise. Now, guys, this has not happened since the 1960s with the Cuban Missile Crisis. That event was so significant that the powers that be at that time considered that the greatest threat to a nuclear war than we had ever been in history. And that was the Cuban Missile Crisis in the 1960s when Russia was bringing nuclear weapons to Cuba in preparation to strike the U.S., and the U.S. was moving nuclear weapons to a certain location as well. So here we are today. History is all repeating itself. And we have Russia that is advancing ships, nuclear-powered submarine, and the list goes on, right off the coast of Florida, on their way to Cuba to conduct quote-unquote military exercises. Officials told Reuters the U.S. Navy will monitor the exercises. The officials spoke on the condition of anonymity to provide details that had not been made public yet. Cuba said in a release last week, the ships carry no nuclear weapons and did not represent a threat. The visit corresponds to the historical friendly relations between Cuba and the Russian Federation and strictly adheres to the international regulations. But guys, you may trust all this, but I don't. This is the problem we have, is this is like the boy who cried wolf. The Russia and Ukraine conflict has gone on and drug on so long that this TikTok attention span generation has done forgot about it. They've moved on. It's old news, yesterday's news. Nobody cares. We're moving on. The same thing with Israel and their conflict with their enemies. People will get tired of hearing about it. They'll get sick of it. They're wanting something new. They'll look for the newest thing, the latest thing, and they'll forget about it and they'll move on. And I'm not saying it's not going on and it's not continuing, because it is, but people's attention spans are losing it. So why is that a bad thing? Because people are not paying attention anymore. They're not preparing anymore. They're not taking things seriously anymore. So when Putin and the Kremlin threaten to nuke the West, threaten to annihilate us and wipe us out, people are like, yeah, whatever. Nobody's blinking an eye. Nobody cares. They're shoving their shoulders and we just move on with life. This, my friends, is very dangerous to me. You know what this does? I'm going to be honest with you. This, to me, gives you the greatest hypothesis, watch this, on how you could see a scenario like the book of Revelation talks about, where it talks about Mystery Babylon is destroyed in 1 hour's time. Friend, in John's day, in 95 AD, when he made such a statement as an entire kingdom would be destroyed in 1 hour's time, that was impossible in his day. They did not have the weaponry or the technology and the capability to wipe out an entire city or a nation in 1 hour's time. But you fast forward to our lifetime, all they have to do is drop one nuke and a city is wiped out in a blink of an eye in 1 hour's time. And your Bible says that the nations will stand afar off because of the smoke rising out of Mystery Babylon that was destroyed in 1 hour's time. And they'll weep and they'll wail because they are losing merchandise from her. She was a top supplier to these nations, and it's all been ended in 1 hour's time. I'm just saying, when I read things like this, it gives you that chill across your spine, because if you know your Bible, it lets you know that we are truly, friends, in perilous times. Now, I want to bring up one more final angle. I want to kind of take us back. I want to kind of give you a recap on this. So we see all these, we see the economy reeling, the retail industry reeling, the food industry is reeling. We have our enemies are closing in on us. And one of the things I thought about, what's going to happen? What's it going to look like? Or where are we going when all the retail collapses, the brick and mortar collapses, everything goes online, it seems like we're getting pushed in and pushed in and pushed in and pushed in. Have you ever heard of what's called a 15-minute city? If you've never heard this, let me give you a quick synopsis of what this is. The 15-minute city concept, developed primarily to reduce carbon emissions by decreasing the use of cars and motorized commuting time, is decentralized urban planning model in which each local neighborhood contains all the basic social functions for living and working. In other words, everything is within a 15-minute accessibility. You don't need to go to Walmart because there won't be a Walmart. You won't need to go to your local grocery store because you'll be able to order it online. You don't need to leave your neighborhood or your house. You can work remotely. You can work from home. After all, it's not that AI is going to take your job, or a robot's going to take your job, or who knows what and who's going to take your job. So again, they're already in the construction of this. These blueprints are laid out. They're already preparing for these 15-minute city concepts where everything can function within that locality or that proximity. Let me read this. Many people argue that the concept of creating localized neighborhoods in which residents can get everything they require within 15 minutes by walking, cycling, or on public transport will ultimately improve the quality of life. Again, you will own nothing and be happy. Such spaces entail multi-purpose neighborhoods instead of specific zones for working, living, and entertainment, reducing the need for unnecessary travel, strengthening a sense of community, and improving sustainability and livability. Wow, doesn't that sound wonderful? And if you think that people are not buying this hook, line, and sinker, one executive director said, quote, "I would like to live in a self-sustainable city. As an urban planner, I focus on the importance of neighborhood planning, and the 15-minute city offers you that self-sustainability." Here is Kent Larson, director of City Science Group at MIT Media Lab, and he said the following, quote, "Companies are planning to have local satellite offices near where people live that will reduce commuting. It may well end up with a lot of unutilized property in cities that could be converted to more affordable housing, and in these suburban areas, it will encourage the development of the assets of the city, villages, kind of micro cities. Cities can be a network of more livable, resilient communities. This is an inevitable trend." In other words, translation, this is coming in the future. Now, think about this. If everybody's localized to a 15-minute perimeter, then you know what this else is going to do? It's going to be more easy for everyone to be tracked, everything you do, because you're not going out of that perimeter. You're not traveling as much. Everything is going to be easily traceable and trackable right there in that community. Friends, it is time to wake up and realize everything the Bible told us that was going to happen in the last days, a one-world government run by a one-world leader with a one-world system, with a one-world religion, and a buying, selling, trading system that will be forced on humanity all of that stuff that you thought all of the religious quacks that were saying this had lost their minds. Isn't it interesting that it seems like the stepping stones are getting us closer and closer to this becoming a reality? And I'm going to leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, it is time to look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I want to encourage you today, guys, if you've not picked up our free app, I want you to go to your Play Store today, Apple, Android, pick it up today. This is how you can keep up with our ministry. You'll be notified of every headline, every podcast when it's readily available. All you got to do is download the app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Also, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you on a week-to-week basis, I want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. Or through the main website right there on your screen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Or you can give by check or money order right there at your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Guys, we're going to sign off for tonight, Tuesday, June 11th. We'll be right back here, Lord willing. Wednesday night, June 12th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And then on Thursday night, you don't want to miss that, the 13th, this Thursday night, 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern, I'll be joining Bishop Larry Ragland on the Big Picture podcast with the Kingdom Intelligence Report. We're going to be doing a segment together. I hope that you get to catch that. You'll be very blessed by that segment. And then we plan on closing the week out on Friday, this Friday as well. So until we see you guys tomorrow night, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.